Grace, peace, and mercy are yours this day through God our Creator and the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, it didn't dawn on me until very late yesterday that all week the sign outside the church has read, "Jacob wrestles Pastor Rudd." It occurred to me there might have been some miscommunication there out on the street. If you showed up to see a scrawny, pasty pastor get manhandled by a burly guy named Jacob, I'm sorry to disappoint you. In fact, I'm hoping to make it out of church without getting body slammed by anybody. But maybe we are all encouraged to do some wrestling this morning. Or maybe, I assume, some of you have been wrestling all week. Or you at least know something about wrestling in your life. Most of this fall at Mount Olivet, we've been journeying through these stories of Genesis that our forebears in faith put down in order to proclaim the deep truths about who God is and about who we are and what that means for us. And Jacob is one of the greatest characters of all. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham and Sarah. You remember those old folks who didn't have any kids, to whom God promised they would have ancestors galore. And so they have the miracle birth of Isaac. And subsequently, Jacob is born to Isaac and Rebekah. And Jacob is truly a character. And I mean that in the way that you talk about someone when you're being Minnesota nice. Do you know Jacob? Oh, yes, I do. He's a character. His name literally means heel grabber. How would you like that name? Oh, isn't she cute? What should we name her? I know, heel grabber. For any of you here named Jacob, I'm sad to inform you. But if ever there was someone who lived up to their name, it was Jacob. He gets the name because he is born immediately after his twin brother Esau. And Jacob comes out with his fist gripping Esau's heel. Poor Rebekah. These brothers didn't even wait to get into the back seat of the family station wagon to start fighting with each other. It's almost enough for those of us who think that infants are so pure and innocent to believe that even they need forgiveness. And it doesn't stop there. Jacob lives out his name fully. He grabs and grabs and grabs, undermining and overthrowing and deceiving to get ahead in life. Of course, we would never imagine anybody doing this. In Hebrew families, the tradition was that the elder brother would get a double share of the inheritance. And so Jacob connives Esau out of his share, thus grabbing the entire inheritance for himself. He goes on to trick his father into giving him a blessing, to grab the promise of God, land, wives, and while working for his uncle Laban, stacks the deck in his favor to cheat his uncle out of flocks of sheep and goats. Jacob, the grabber. Do you know him? Oh yeah, he's a character. So now we find him on the bank of the Jabbok River. He's headed home, and he has been notified that his big brother Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. Jacob is so scared that he divides all his property in half, keeping one half secret, and then sending the rest across the river ahead of him to meet his brother, just in case his brother's meeting isn't too hospitable. He has time to get away, in other words, and still keep stuff. So Jacob is left alone, and perhaps it's no wonder he didn't sleep well that night. And alone, with an unknown fate ahead of him, someone shows up to wrestle. As it goes, the wrestling match turns out to be one which would make any Olympian or MMA fighter blush. Jacob wrestles all night. And it seems he can't be beaten. Well, after all, he's the master grabber. So the opponent resorts to fighting dirty and puts out his hip. Did you know that God fights dirty? And yet, Jacob's grip is as tight as ever, and Jacob demands, "I won't let you go until you give me a blessing." And so the opponent asks him, "Well, what is your name? What is your name?" And Jacob has to say his name is Jacob. He has to confess, "I'm heel grabber, the cheater, the deceiver, the one scared in the night and worried about the future, the one who's never quite sure that God will live up to God's promises." And in Jacob answering, saying his name, he is made to confess the very depth of who he is. "I'm Jacob." But then the opponent does something that Jacob probably wished he'd had his entire life. He gives him a new name. "You shall no longer be called Jacob. Now you will be called Israel, one who strives with God." And that's the story. Well, there you go. Now, what do you do with that? In the Mount Olivet sermon time frame, I don't have much time to unpack all of that for you. But let me give you a few things straight, perhaps. Here's one. God deals with characters and doesn't give up on them. I don't know about you, but that is good news to my ears, because if God can deal with and bless a character like Jacob, well, then there's hope for me. There's also hope for all y'all, too. And of course, it means that God also deals with and blesses characters that I don't like very much, which is kind of frustrating. God is dealing with and blessing characters that I might see as outside of God's grasp. And yet the story then compels me to look upon others with grace and mercy and wonder how God is present. Another thing, don't you find it fascinating to learn that God wrestles? Have you ever wrestled with God? I don't know about you, but I can relate to wrestling with God, perhaps not knowing exactly what God is up to from day to day, or grappling to see how God is truly present, or more likely, me wrestling with myself, knowing my doubts, my misdeeds, my deficiencies, and God continuing to grab on to me. Wrestling is an extremely intimate act. It often puts the participants in uncomfortable, compromising positions. You know what I mean? Being in God's grip is not always enjoyable. For instance, there have been many times in which I feel as if my face has been deliberately rubbed in the divine armpit, and God had forgotten deodorant that day. Yet there is hope in a God who wrestles. And this is why. If you have a God who wrestles, it means you have a God you can grab. For the sake of grabbers, God makes God's self vulnerable for the sake of those always looking to get a hold on things. God says, "Here, take hold of me." And God does it to give you a new name. You will no longer be called Jacob. You will be called God's Driver, Beloved, Disciple, Forgiven. You will have a name which means peacemaker and forgiver and justice doer and carer of the poor and lifter up of the downtrodden and friend of those in need and hoper in times of trouble and bearer of humility and ultimately saint of the heavenly host. Have you heard about Jacob? Oh, yeah. He's a character, all right. But God works with characters. God will wrestle through the night with you until the morning comes. For in Christ, God is made graspable. Perhaps this is why this story is given to you and me. And despite the sign outside saying, Jacob wrestles Pastor Rudd, maybe it should read, Jacob wrestles the entire gathering of Mount Olivet Lutheran Church in order that they all might grab God and be made new. Amen.